Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Young Hefe, homes. These niggas so scary, won't let them bury me. That's why I keep my 30, I shoot like Curry. And boy, I'm getting money, I'm getting money.
Welcome back to Don V Fridays. Back in the building. The 100th, we finally made it. The 100th episode of Stravaganza. We got Drift in the building. How you living, my boy?
I'm doing great, man. It's awesome to be here for the 100th. We're going to have a fucking awesome episode kicking off, ready for the season coming up soon.
The 100th episode. Can't wait till we reach episode 200. We're going to probably be doing it even big. We could probably be doing it big by then, but...
Oh, yeah.
100 episodes deep. Before we get into the podcast, Don V Friday started as a little YouTube web series I was doing. I think I said it on here a million times. I did YouTube before I ever did a podcast. I did YouTube before I even did Twitter. And I used to make videos and pretty much recap games and preview games and basically do what I do best, talk shit. And I had got inactive. I had got inactive on YouTube for a little while. It was the off season, and I came up with this idea to just make videos, period, where I wouldn't even talk about Virginia Tech. Sometimes I would, sometimes I didn't. I would just talk about other sports or whatever. And I called it Don V Fridays because I would put it out every Friday. And I got tired of getting on camera and things like that. So When everybody started podcasting, I thought, shit, fuck it, let me get a podcast. And I just carried the name over. So that's how Don V Fridays was born. 100 episodes in, a word of advice to all up and coming podcasters, people that's thinking about starting a podcast. Let me say it for you. You have to stick with it. You gotta keep putting it out. Your first 30 episodes, your first 50 episodes might be shit. Nobody might not care about it. You have to keep grinding. A lot of people like the idea of a podcast because they see the best podcast. They see the Joe Budden podcast, Joe Rogan podcast, whatever your favorite podcast is. They see that, and that's the pinnacle. And they think, okay, if I do this shit for a couple of weeks, I should be... No. Even them people had to start somewhere. Joe Rogan been a celebrity for 35 fucking years. Joe Rogan was eating roaches on Fear Factor when I was in high school. And I'm old as shit. So what I'm saying is, you have... If you're a regular person like us, you have to keep grinding. Nobody knows you. Nobody gives a fuck about you. It's your job as a podcaster to continue to work, grind, and give your personality to the people so they can gravitate towards you and your takes and who you are as a person. And one more word of advice before we start. Use social media. Like I just said, nobody knows you or gives a fuck about you. So everybody, you're competing for everybody's time. Everybody got 50 podcasts they like. Everybody likes to watch YouTube videos. Everybody loves to listen to music. You are not entitled to nobody's time, my boy. So You gotta find ways to stand out, set yourself apart. Don't try to sound like other podcasts. Don't try to do what other podcasts do. Do you and give yourself and be truthful. Don't get on there and lie. Don't get on there and cap people because nothing will turn you people off your podcast is when people start find out you frauding, you faking, you lying, and you telling other people's stories and shit like that. So 100 episodes of Don V Fridays. Hopefully 100 more.
Oh yeah, and let me just put this out there real quick that Don has you've done a fucking awesome job of doing everything, every single thing that you just listed. You've done well. The social media stuff, absolutely killing that. I mean, that's how I got involved in the first place. Even before I listened to the podcast or anything, I found Don V on Twitter, and I just was interacting with him. I liked his takes, all the shit that he was saying. I hadn't even listened to the podcast, and I would see him start, promoting his podcast, and eventually started listening, and that's kind of what drew me in the first place. And I would have never known that if I wasn't on Twitter, if I wasn't seeing what he said. So it's a huge point to be active on social media and be yourself too, because that's what drew me to this and to what he says. He's so real with what he says. He means everything that he says, and that's the best advice you can give anybody that's starting a podcast.
Yeah. Yes, you got to be real. The thing about podcasting is most podcasts, not all, especially when you get outside of the sports realm, is a lot of podcasts spend the whole podcast talking about other people, talking about who fucking who, talking about who did what, who killed who stole from who. People gonna be entertained by the tea and the bullshit, but you gotta give your life too. You gotta say, okay, this person did this, but shit, I used to do that too. Or I still do it. Or I've done it. Or here's how I relate. You can't just sit up here and speak on other people's sins. You gotta get your own shit and give a piece of who you are. That's just my advice to all the up and coming podcasters, all the up and coming content creators that you gotta be real. You gotta give yourself to the people. Speaking of giving shit away, it's the 100th episode. Today, we have the results of the Don V Fridays Cash App giveaway. Now, before I announce the one winner, I'm disappointed in all you motherfuckers because y'all had shit a month. I'm
Yeah,
very disappointed.
literally.
Y'all motherfuckers had like a month or even more to follow me, follow Drift. One quote from me, one quote from Drift, and have Cash App. And you dirty sons of bitches, except for one person, failed to capitalize on free money in a pandemic. So at VT Joe Rogers is the winner of the Cash App giveaway, the Don V Fridays Cash App giveaway. He is walking away with first place. If he's walking away with first, second, and third place, he wins the Cash App giveaway. Let me read off his quotes. He went up against nobody, so he wins by default. He the motherfucker that ran for mayor in a town with like five other people and nobody else ran. So he gets to be the mayor. He's the mayor of Don V Fridays at VT Joe Rogers at VT underscore Joe Rogers underscore 38. He quoted me. He said, "Not every player a make-a-wish player." And that's something I said, I think, two episodes ago when I was talking about three-star players and just because they three star, it don't mean they trash. It just means they probably just need a little bit more development. And when he quoted Driffy, he said, "Fuller is from the 757." I believe that's a misquote.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a misquote. He had the context right. That was from my first time on the podcast. What I was saying was we were talking about who would be a good face card in the 757, and I immediately just jumped to like a player that could talk and that people would know and respect. And I didn't even think twice about whether they were from 757 or not. So I went with Fuller,
Right.
and I just said that without even thinking twice. And now that's
And if I'm
I
not
am
mistaken, and I haven't listened back to that episode. It was formed in a question. It wasn't like you straight flat out just said Kyle Fuller from the 757. I got a pretty decent memory. I remember you asking it in the form of a question, like Fuller from the 757, right? You forgot the right, but
I'll take it. I'll take it. I deserve it. I'll take it. Go run for it.
it was
I
a
just
question, but it was a
yeah.
question. I mean, the Fuller family is all from Maryland. They're not 757, but they're welcome anytime. They're welcome anytime. But at VT underscore Joe Rogers underscore 38, you are the mayor of Don V Fridays. I'll be contacting you soon with your Cash App information, sir, my good sir. If you DM me talking about Zelle, talking about PayPal, talking about Venmo, any other Apple Pay, Google Pay, or Carrier Pigeon, or any other way to exchange money, if you want me to write you a check, you will be promptly blocked. And you will go from mayor of Don V Fridays to in the city jail on Don V Fridays. A shout salute to you at VT Joe Rogers underscore. Good dude, by the way. Good dude, by the way. He's in TP2, interacts, goes hard, be out there on motherfuckers' throats on the timeline. We see you, we salute you. Anything you want to add, Drew?
Yeah, shout out Joe Rogers. Thanks for always being like the one person that'll like my tweet if nobody else does. Really appreciate it. If you're
That was
ever in
hard.
Detroit, let me know if you're in Detroit. We'll go out to a bar or
Didn't
something.
that motherfucker win the national championship? Did he beat Coach Doug's or something? Ain't that
Oh
wouldn't
yeah.
that like
That's
his
how he
rise to
started.
fame?
That's how he
Did
started.
he beat
During
Coach Doug?
the early days of the pandemic. And all those Barstool dudes were on Twitch playing NCAA.
Yeah, Joe Rogers, a hero emerged and helped Virginia Tech capture a national championship in something. So if we ain't recognized for shit, we won a national championship on somebody's Twitch. So when you see Joe Rogers on the timeline, you should cash app him your damn self, get him a beer or some shit, because without him, shit, real shit, we was low key. Virginia Tech was kind of relevant for a day off that shit. I was
Oh
shocked.
yeah. Yeah, it
I
was.
was shocked. Like I was like, these Barstool niggas got clout like that?
Yeah,
Like I
I think it was Big Cat that was playing.
Yeah, one of the motherfuckers. I said, these motherfuckers got clout. That they had so much clout that they gave us clout. It was fans on the timeline, Virginia Tech fans, at in the VT, I mean the Hokies FB account, like, capitalize on this. Are y'all doing? That shit had me crying, bro. Like,
I'm pretty sure the VT account, like the actual Twitter account, tweeted at the Barstool account that
yeah, they
was
acknowledged it,
running
but for like
it.
a couple of hours, they didn't.
Yeah.
And people was, Virginia, Hokie Twitter, like everything is a bloodbath. So, and it was Pete Morris. That's when Pete Morris was running shit. Pete, you stupid fuck. You need to capitalize on this. And Pete Morris probably had to take his fucking heart medicine or some bullshit. Old ass. Shout out to Pete Morris, bro. I don't want no problems with you, bro. I mean, you posted that trash ass July 4th plate where this nigga was eating like overcooked baked potatoes, some potato chips, and a pickle. That was the most trash 4th of July plate. But shout out to Pete Morris, man. If you listen to this, we salute you, bro. I never asked for you to get fired, my boy. I never go through my tweets. I never said fire Pete Morris, bro. You're a legend. You just don't know how to tweet, and it's all good. But they was on your ass that night, my boy. They was on Pete Morris' ass. What the fuck was Pete Morris eating? He had ketchup and mustard on. That shit was like a sweet potato or a baked potato.
Was honestly
Either
so
way.
bad that I thought it was like a joke. It looked like a joke.
It's a flag on the play. Flag on the play. Pete Morris has been ejected off the timeline for targeting because I don't know what the fuck that bullshit was he was eating.
Yeah,
Let's talk recruiting. Virginia Tech picked up a couple of commits. Rashard Purnell, who was, it was a lot of momentum of him headed our way. You know, for a couple of weeks. It was a lot of momentum headed our way for a couple of weeks now. Kid out the 757. And I'm here for all 757 or Virginia recruits, especially ones that can help bring more kids in.
Yep,
Xavier
Highland Springs.
Chaplin. Highland Springs. I'm tripping. Now I'm doing the shit. Now I'm doing it. 804. My bad. My listen to all my Highland Springs people. Y'all are allowed to fuck me up over that. Highland Springs. My bad. 804, not 757. But I'm all 804. We want the Highland Springs. I said, I think I said it. If we go to
You
Highland Springs
did.
every year and say, give me your best three, and go to Oscar Smith and say, give me your best three, and Bayside and you know the top Virginia schools, we'd be cooking with some real gas, hitting those
Facts.
schools up. Even if you go to Salem, that's over there, and I think 540, and say, give me your best one or two. Got them twins, but you know, give me your best. Even
Right.
if it's your best one, and
No,
then
it's
you can really
important.
get a real, you can get a real VA to VT movement going, and not this what they got going on over there.
Right. You need them.
Any other comments on Rashard Purnell?
Yeah, I mean, like you're saying about, 804 and Highland Springs and these other top schools. I had a Twitter thread going on today. We talked about this a lot. We talked about this last podcast too, a little bit, but these guys know each other. And you can't just jump to the top player whenever there's a top player at one of these schools and be, hey, come to Virginia Tech when they're getting offers from Bama, Penn State, Clemson,
Right.
whatever. You need to have these guys like you need to have the mid-level guys that are, the 85, 86s from the or even maybe even 84. I would even stoop to 83. As long as the Virginia guys get the Virginia guys here, they are friends with these other dudes. And no, that does not mean you are guaranteed to get the best recruits, but it helps. It does not hurt. It helps. So
Absolutely.
I like seeing Purnell in there. And like we got last week with Moiston,
Right.
and Lamar Law. I mean, these are guys that know people, that people know in Virginia. Not random dudes like Jackson LaHue out in Texas with a bunch of fucking offers to schools that I don't even think he has a single Power Five offer outside of
He had
Virginia.
like
But
Yale and shit.
Yale and Princeton and Harvard. Like he's probably smart, but he's not. Nobody knows him from Virginia. Like build continuity within the classes. Have these guys know each other. You're not gonna hit on every top recruit, but it'll help you get these top recruits. So I like seeing this recruit. And we talked about it last time. I was hoping that they would pull him, and they did. So hopefully Friday is another big one with Ramon Brown coming up. Friday at 5, he commits. It will be hell on VT Twitter if he goes to South Carolina
South
though.
Carolina.
So.
It would definitely be hell on earth. Ramon Brown. Last time I checked, I think his top five was West Virginia, Penn State, Virginia Tech, South Carolina, and I think Maryland. And
Yeah.
Penn State picked up a running back. West Virginia picked up a running back. We've been tweeting Razor Ramon gifts, or Hokie Twitter been tweeting Razor Ramon gifts for the last 3 weeks. If we was to swing and miss on Ramon Brown, I'm not gonna tweet, but I'm gonna damn sure be on the app all day because that shit gonna be hilarious. That's gonna be a funny ass Royal Rumble. But I think we in good shape for Ramon Brown. And it
Yeah,
ain't
me
like the
too. I
motherfucker
think.
can't play. He definitely gets some burn early.
Exactly. And those are the type of kids you need to get with and getting these other guys we've gotten from the area helps get him.
Right. We also picked up Xavier Chaplin, a relative unknown as far as in our minds, but I feel like we say this shit every podcast. If you don't know nothing about him, at least they big. At least he big. He's like this motherfucker's a mammoth size, massive, 6'7" or some crazy shit.
370.
370. If anything, they can put him out there and say, just be big. I can't imagine him being able to move. Because think about the ACC. The ACC has always been a good pass rush college. I mean, pass rush conference. I could see him getting blown past 80 million times. But maybe he, 2, 3 years, they get him in the weight program. They can make him into something.
Right, he's
It's a
got to.
developmental pickup.
He's definitely got to slim down a little bit, that's for sure.
Hell yeah. And
But.
last but not least, we picked up Tucker Holloway. Tucker Holloway is a wide receiver. A kid that he wasn't on my radar either. Honestly, outside of Purnell was the only one that was on my radar who I knew about prior to him committing. Is there any news on Tucker Holloway that we should be aware of?
I don't really think any news, other than like he's probably the only speed guy in this class. I mean,
Right.
he is pretty fast. Like I said last podcast, I even might have tweeted this out a little bit, but like there's like before he committed, there was like absolutely zero speed in this class. There was nobody who could take the ball and do something with it or even get open in space. So I mean that there's that. That's at least some sort of plus there. But
Yeah,
I
there's
we were
always some trait. I'll give
yeah.
his staff that credit. They at least trying to find, give me one trait. Give me
Right.
something, even
The
if you're
only
unknown.
really the only like takeaway and I found this today, the only takeaway from the Holloway thing is like there's a wide receiver from Highland Springs, who we haven't offered yet. I think his name is Kwanye. I forget his last name. I can look him up right now. But he has like 9 offers, mostly Power 5 schools. I think Virginia offered him too. He's like an 85. And I'm just really confused on why we haven't offered him, especially if we're looking at like Highland Springs players in general. I think we should be targeting him. So I'd like to see them in the future prioritize the Highland Springs guy over maybe the guy from North Carolina who has like 3 offers. But he's fast. He can move. His tape's not bad at all. So it's a decent pickup. I mean, most of these guys in the class probably won't end up playing a whole ton because we know this staff likes to load the roster with transfers and shit like that. But it's not a bad pickup. The class is looking good right now. And also, I don't think we mentioned Xavier Chaplin. He just got rated today as like an 86. So I think that was higher than most people thought he would get rated.
And of course, as this cycle moves along and chugs along, a lot of guys will be getting, bumps and knocks because the 2020 was so fucked up as far as scouting and shit. So we still learning about these guys on the fly, especially the out of state prospects and the guys who, because the thing about Fuente and them is they kind of scour for gems. I believe when they was talking about Xavier Chaplin, I believe the term stealth mode was used
Yeah.
because they were saying that they snuck in and got Xavier Chaplin before Clemson figured it out or something.
Yeah, something
Trust
about
and
how
believe
Clem.
you me, if Clemson wanted him, but whatever.
Yeah, if Clemson came calling, I think he's gone.
There was terms used like Clemson was about to and Georgia was about to. But we snuck in like a thief in the night. I'm like, hold up now. If this kid is, that guy,
Right.
we got a hell of a lot of motherfucking cycle left. We
Right. I
ain't
think,
stole him just yet.
yeah, I think the only time you can say we stole them is on like National Signing Day. You know what I mean? Like when they
Right.
put the pen to the paper. Like if Clemson comes out this year and scouts one of his games, and hey, here's a scholarship, like I think he's gone maybe. But
Right.
it's not like we came under, it's not like a National Signing Day flip or whatever that we
Yeah.
got him. So
Well,
there's a
he
lot of
pull off
time.
the robbery. I think it was just an unknown kid and we was there first. But shout outs to Xavier Chaplin, Tucker Holloway, Rashard Purnell. We'll be waiting on Ramon Brown's commitment. If that man is up at South Carolina, whew,
Oh man.
Matt, can you imagine what Shane Beamer gonna tweet?
Oh my God. He might
Welcome
tweet this
home
is,
or some shit.
he might even just tweet this is home.
Oh man, that is gonna be that's gonna be the day where Hokie Twitter like finally says, you know what, Shane, fuck you.
Yeah.
And that's when his shit gonna fly. And like I said, I won't be participating in the bloodbath. I'm gonna just be watching.
Yeah, that'll be a bad day if he goes there. So hoping that doesn't happen, because I did say that, you know, for this class to really start heading in the really positive direction, they're gonna need him and they're gonna need Givens down the road. So
right, we also waiting on Gunnar Givens. Now we are 1 week removed from July 1st, where player likeness, image, names, they're allowed to sign certain sponsorship deals and make change off their name. It's been a lot of bags exchanged out in the open. I think American Top Team or something like that, where MMA fighters train in Miami, the team has pledged, I think, $256,000 to the University of Miami, which divvies up to like $6,000 per player. That shit caused a small stir on Twitter because, God forbid, players from Miami making free money, that scares people. Other deals have been secured. Our own Trey Turner secured a couple bags. Shout outs to him. Any other deals you've seen, notable deals or
I mean, play,
comments in general?
In terms of some notable, in terms of like Virginia Tech, obviously, like some of the funny ones were some of the tweets that came out, some of the sponsored tweets. Those were pretty good. We talked earlier before the show about Kayvon Thibodeau getting a couple million dollars. That's huge. I mean, he's one of the best
Nike
players.
Nike money.
Yeah, he's obviously playing for Oregon, and he's going to be a top five pick in the draft. So I could see that coming. Going back to that discussion about Miami, I think that's important because a lot of people were talking about how it's like bad for football, or they think that it's going to like propel Miami into this like elite status.
All right.
I'm going to ask you what you think after this, but my initial thoughts were I don't think this is going to do a absolute ton for Miami, but they're kind of in the same tier where they've always been like a step behind the other big schools. And I think in terms of like Florida State and Clemson historically in the ACC, I think this kind of levels them out with Florida State and might even give them the edge. We talked a little bit about this on Twitter, but just because Miami is a better market than Tallahassee, I could see that being a thing, but I think that's as far as it goes. I don't think there's anything astronomical or crazy about this deal. So people were concerned way too much. I think I saw like too many tweets about this is going to be bad for football. And I just don't think that's true. But what do you think?
I think them people got PTSD from the old Miami.
Yeah.
And the thought of the new Miami, which none of these people, like, there's no old Miami vibes coming out of what they got going on in Coral Gables. They at best can be a decent team. They can definitely beat Virginia Tech. But on the grand scheme, on the big picture, Miami is not that sleeping demon. They haven't recruited on that level to become that. And just because their third left tackle is going to get $6,000, $6,000 fucking, how many months work? Like, when you got $6,000, man, that's a couple hundred dollars a month. Like, people freaking out. Oh, my God, this is going to kill the game. And it's from Oklahoma fans. And, like, I'm old enough to remember Oklahoma was paying motherfuckers using a car dealership. Rhett Bomar was getting paid at a Norman, Oklahoma car dealership. He was getting paid like a commission salary. This motherfucker never used to report to work. Obviously, his job was to play quarterback for Oklahoma. But he was on payroll at a car dealership. So, spare the whole, this is going to kill the game, all because Miami, and people are so afraid of what Miami used to be. in the 80s and the early 90s that I think the idea of that rising up again strikes fear in a lot of people's hearts. Because I don't even think people really even Twitter jokes about Nick Saban in the car dealership, in the Mercedes-Benz dealership, and the every motherfucking player in Alabama got a Charger, a Hellcat, or a G-Wagon or some shit. And we all, okay, yeah, that's Nick Saban, that's Bama. But it's something about Miami that just brings out the slick dog whistle racism. I hate to say the word because I'm not a person that crafts racism. But it's like, it's not racism, but it's like that slick dog whistle. This is horrible for the game. Like, I remember when 2017, when Miami had the turnover chain, and just some of the it's gentrified now. Everybody does it. Everybody got turnover props and shit. But it was something about them putting that chain on that just used to the fuck out of like older white
Oh,
fans.
yeah.
Now it's like, okay, that's their thing. And Miami didn't it didn't ascend like it was big that year and they were good that year. I think they lost two or three games. They beat the shit out of Virginia Tech on a big stage. They beat Notre Dame on a big stage, but they kind of fizzled out. So it was like, okay, the
Yeah.
chain didn't give them superpowers. I think people was afraid that the chain was giving them powers. And it was young dudes, they were putting this chain on and they were stunting. And I think people was getting scared again.
Right.
And every year they have a new iteration of the chain. They switch it up every year and shit. But Miami been they haven't reached even that 2017 form. But there is a underlying fear of Miami amongst like college football fans.
Do you think it has something to do with as well, like the city being like the
Oh
biggest
yeah,
vacation spot?
a
Right.
popping city that everybody wants to vacation at and go to,
Right.
and being at its location, South Florida. Everybody knows South Florida is one of the best hotbeds for talent. Even though Miami's in the same boat like Virginia Tech, they don't keep those kids either. A lot of
No.
those South Florida kids end up at Bama and Clemson, in Georgia. But
Yeah, Jerry Jeudy was one of them.
Jerry, oh, the list goes on and on.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Even Ohio State with the Bosa brothers.
Yeah.
The list goes on and on. I think Khalil Herbert's from like Plant, Florida or some shit. Like, I want to say Plantation. I'm not going to say it. Plant City, Florida or some shit. And he ended up at Kansas and Virginia Tech. Miami is struggling to keep a lot of those kids in South Florida, thank God. So, I don't know. NIL is not going to change nothing. Arkansas State is going to recruit the same way they did before NIL. It's NIL is just going to help the schools where they got big money, but maybe just they struggle. So Oklahoma State got T. Boone Pickens or some shit. He's supposed to be rich as fuck. Now he can be able to drop bags. Maybe he can steal off Oklahoma plate a player or two. Not the whole class, but maybe now T. Boone Pickens can drop some bags. Jerry
Right.
Jones, who is a fucking human skeleton, is very rich, obviously. He went to Arkansas. He's a big Arkansas booster. Now he's probably going to drop some bags, sponsorships, AT&T sponsorships, to keep some of them Arkansas players. Or, he's in Dallas, Texas. He always in Texas. So maybe he can get some of them Texas kids to go to Arkansas for AT&T sponsorship. Shit like that. Maybe famous celebrities. I know LeBron James from Akron. Maybe he
Right.
can do some funny LeBron James sponsorship for Akron, the
Matthew
Zips.
McConaughey for Texas.
Now, when it come to Texas now, them motherfuckers, they got the richest, they got the richest
They probably have
fans,
the richest,
period.
yeah.
That's probably the richest fan base out of all fan bases. So it's definitely gonna be bag opportunity. But I think it's gonna be the same because Texas always, flexed their money and was able to get whatever coach they wanted and
Right.
things like that. So with it out in the open, it just I think it makes it better, honestly.
It does. I think it does. I think it makes it more level. Because
Yeah.
honestly, like almost every school has rich fans, has somebody who graduated that owns a company that's wealthy and likes football. I mean, that's universal. So I think it's just going to make it more even. I mean, more teams are going to be able to have money to give in general. So I think it's going to just level the playing field out more than it does hurt the playing field.
Yeah, because just like we said, it's not about the Bamas and all them, because of course they're gonna continue to get what they get. But when you got a Arkansas being able to peel some off, or Oklahoma State can peel some off, shit, USC is in LA and UCLA is in LA. You got all kinds of marketing opportunities out there. So, and Oregon, Nike money, so I think it's going to bring more teams to the forefront. Instead of college football being 4.5 teams every year, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Bama, Clemson, and it's always like a half a team that don't really belong, a Notre
Like a
Dame,
Georgia.
a Georgia, sometimes Texas or somebody, or maybe a third SEC school
Or Florida when they're good.
or Florida. But I think with this, we might get a legit 8, 9, 10 strong teams a year. Maybe the playoff might mean something with
Yeah.
NIL and the talent pool, not just all funneling to four schools.
And especially if they're moving the playoff to a 12-team format, which I think they're voting on pretty soon. If it comes to that where there is like 10 good teams, I mean that's gonna be so much better for college football to watch 12-team playoff than a 4-team and there's actually good football there.
Hell yeah, especially if the 12th team is always gonna be sorry. The 10th team is always gonna be sorry. But if we can get a strong eight, I'm here for it. I
Even a
am
strong
here
six or
for
seven.
it. Yeah, strong 6 or 7. And even in a loss, if two strong teams go at it and the eighth team just didn't have enough to, win it all, they probably can still take their Rose Bowl trophy or whatever playoff game they won and be like, "Look, we accomplished something.
Right.
We did something." Cause people gonna look at Notre Dame from last year. Everybody looks at the fourth team like you didn't belong here. Like Notre Dame, that Michigan State team from like 2015,
Oklahoma team that got blown out by LSU.
that Oklahoma team that got ran off the field, that Washington team that got their ass cooked by Bama. Maybe the eighth best team will feel like, look, we was a good team. And we won a playoff game. We didn't win it all, but it don't feel like a complete failure, like how it
Right.
kind of feels sometimes with them fourth teams. But shout out to name, image, likeness. It's been the Wild West, but in a good way. Couple Hokies picked up some bags. I think Hunter Couture and Storm Murphy got that Barstool bag. Trey Turner, like I think we brought up Trey Turner, picked up some bags. And it's a good thing. Always happy to see a black man making money. Shout out to Storm Murphy, black man making money.
Yeah. I think the Barstool thing is funny though, because I'm pretty sure anybody who applies to that gets it, or like gets the title or whatever. Because somebody that I knew posted that on their Snapchat or whatever that they applied, but they don't even play sports and they got it. So I don't know how
Yes.
reputable the Barstool one is.
Portnoy, Jeff Portnoy is just making it rain out here. And you would think Jeff Portnoy is a person that was caught saying the N-word on camera. You would think he would give a couple of them bags to the blacks. We ain't knocking nobody hustle. Shout out to all the white athletes that he gave a bag to. But for a motherfucker caught on camera saying the N-word, you would think kind of some good pub, but I ain't gonna go there. Speaking of money, man, what's up with Puff Daddy capping on Instagram talking about he knew he had to get rich and had to get himself out of that situation of being in the hood when he woke up and had 15 roaches on his face?
That's some bullshit. There's no fucking way there's 15. 15? Might have been 5. I'd say, what do you say, max 5? I'd say maybe 5.
This motherfucker ain't had a roach on his face. 15 roaches? Look, man, I grew up in the 90s. I grew up watching BET. And every Sunday on BET, there was no BET. They show infomercials of the starving kids in Africa all day. They play Bobby Jones gospel in the morning, and then they do sick, starving African children all day. These motherfuckers will have 2 or 3 flies, you know, flies on them, and they sick and hungry and shit. You never seen 15 flies on a kid's face. Now, you mean to tell me Sean P. Diddy Combs up in Harlem had 15 roaches on his face at once?
Not a
roaches,
chance.
Roaches don't even move like that. Roaches do not move in swarms. Roaches do not operate like ants. That's some ant shit. It ain't roach shit. Roaches move in 2s, 3s. They kind of, even when roaches move in 2s or 3s, they do the tentacle shit, and then they spread out.
Right.
I guess they give each other their orders for the day. Like, we're going to acquire whatever food we can strap up. And then they get to it. They don't hang out on motherfuckers' faces. I don't give a fuck if your house is completely infested. I grew up with roaches. I grew up with roaches and mice. I have never seen 15 roaches at one time.
My grandmother in Miami is like deathly afraid of roaches. And they have like a lot in Miami, but every time she finds one or kills one, it's always just one or two. It's never more than like 3 or 4, maybe 5. Never. Always just one or two.
Yeah, together. And you can have, listen, I done been in some houses that's roach infested. I ain't gonna even say her name. I ain't gonna put your name out there, mamas, because I'm moving back to the area and I want to get shot. But I was seeing this girl, and she used to always want to come to my house. She was always want to come over. Always want to come over. Whatever. I let her stay at my house with me for like a week. And, you know, we doing our thing, messing around, shit like that. But eventually, I'm like, you got to go home. You can't, like, we're just friends. Like, we're kicking it. But we ain't an item. Like, you're not my wife or nothing. So I take her to her house. And I walked this at her. It was her mama's house. It wasn't her house. And I walked this at that house. And I knew exactly why she always wanted to stay at my house. Man, it was roaches everywhere. When I say roaches everywhere, roaches everywhere. Roaches on the walls. Roaches in the kitchen. Roaches just like motherfuckers got so many roaches that they just part of the family. They just, like, people don't kill them. Like, motherfuckers in there just living life. Oh, hey. And all of this is normal. Like, I'm in that house uncomfortable. Like, my skin is crawling. Because I've never seen, and they weren't in 15s. But roaches everywhere. Everywhere, though. I just kind of stood. I kind of introduced myself. And I went home. And I could see why she definitely wanted to stay around my house, and I don't wanna, well, fuck it. Thank God for safe sex. That's all I'm gonna say. Use safe sex, kids. Use condoms, because your boy might not be here today. And I went up and you never know, man. You might hit a roach egg sack up in there or some shit. You never know, man.
Did you invite her over ever again?
Yeah. I wasn't gonna, what was I gonna do? Stop fucking her? No. You gotta shake your clothes out for you come in the business house, shake your shit. Check your purse. Shake all that shit out before you come up in here. But shout outs to her with your roach infested house having ass. Hopefully you out that situation, my girl, because that shit was crazy. Don't ever put people in that situation. But yeah, P. Diddy, you're lying, my boy. Even if P. Diddy must have been up in that bitch house, and I don't even think still 15 roaches. Come on, man. The
No.
shit ain't the shit. The shit is physically impossible. How big this nigga think his face is? Cool, man. Anything you want to add to P. Diddy lying ass? With the cap, my boy.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought it was kind of weird the whole post in general. Like, I never really liked those posts to begin with. Like the, oh, this happened to me, like as a super fucking rich person, and that just made me rich or something, or made me want to be
Right.
rich or actually rich. Like, so many people are actually out here like seriously struggling, and if they read that, like that's doing absolutely nothing for them. Like nobody's gonna look at
Yeah.
that post and like gain motivation. I think it's just stupid in
Listen,
general, but
there's a lot of motherfuckers in the hood right now with roaches crawling all over them. That is not about to drive them to riches.
right, that's
Motherfuckers
facts.
see the star. Motherfuckers see the star saying what they did, and what they, because a lot of these, come on, man. And then for Puff Daddy to say it, achieve all these riches on the backs of so many people that's either dead in jail or down bad is crazy. I will quickly run down the list. Notorious B.I.G. dead. Craig Mack dead. Black Rob dead. G-Dep doing like life. The list goes on and on and on. Listen, there's a place in hell. If there's a heaven to hell, Puff Daddy got him a one-way ticket and VIP seats. With the roaches he lied on, because that's crazy. And last but not least, before we get up out of here, one of these. This wasn't even a Black Twitter debate. This was everybody telling one person, "You are crazy." So this girl said that she was in a group chat and she argued with her group chat, which means they dragged her ass to hell and back, because she said that if they bring out the bread, if you're eating in a restaurant and they bring out the bread, you're supposed to wait 5 minutes before you eat the bread, because that's tacky to eat the bread that they bring out. And if you were so
Oh.
hungry that you would eat the bread, you should have ate a pre-game meal before going to the restaurant. This girl got
Oh.
dragged to hell and back. She got ratioed to shit. Her poll did like over 200K votes, and it was like 3% agreed with her.
Not even, it was like
I'm
two
gonna ask
points to
the
heaven.
question. Yeah, it's some crazy shit. I'm gonna ask the question. I'm gonna ask the question. Is eating the breadsticks at Olive Garden immediately, or the Outback bread, or wherever, the butter rolls, is that tacky if you eat it as soon as it come out?
No, and that's because like whenever I go to like you say like Olive Garden, I look forward to eating the breadsticks immediately. Like I wait for the breadsticks to come. I'll look around to see when the breadsticks are coming just so I can eat the breadstick right away. That's the first thing I do. I don't even think twice about it. Like why would that even be tacky? I don't even understand. Like does that make me like dumb or like poor or some shit that I'm eating the food when it comes to the table because I'm hungry for the food. Like that's why I went to the fucking restaurant, because I'm hungry. I'm not gonna go to the restaurant when I'm not hungry. So,
So you're not eating the pre-game
no, I'm not eating a
meal.
pre-game meal. Fuck no. I'm
I
going
didn't
there to
understand
eat.
that part of that. Yeah, that's the
That was
point. Like
stupid
me
as hell.
personally, if me and my friends or me and whoever have like dinner plans, I try not to eat. Like,
Yeah,
okay, because we're
facts. I
going
do
out
the.
to eat later.
Yeah, and I'm eating all the bread, and I'm asking for more bread, and I'm eating that bread, asking for more bread because it's free. I'm gonna eat as much bread as I possibly can. I'm getting free bread. Why the fuck would I not eat the bread?
Free bread, and normally they kind of divvy up the bread according to your party. So if it's two people, they normally try to bring out three pieces of bread, or if it's they try to
Right.
bring out one or two more than whoever. But I've never been to a restaurant where they shorted people. Like it's five of y'all and they send out three breads, so it's not like you're fighting over the bread.
Right.
Me personally, I'm a my favorite bread of all time, as far as all the places that bring you bread first. Red Lobster, the Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Yes.
You think I'm gonna wait before I eat a cheddar? I want that motherfucker when it's hot. I want that motherfucker right. Listen, I will get into a knife fight over Cheddar Bay biscuits. She got me fucked up. If
Those
that's
are so
tacky, I'm the
good.
tackiest nigga. When the Cheddar Bay biscuits comes out, all bets are off. You might have a fight up in there over these. Y'all ain't sent enough. It's six of us, and y'all only sent seven. We want 17 Cheddar Bay biscuits. People take them shits home.
Those are so good, they sell them at the store.
Hey, they sell Cheddar Bay biscuits. Or you go to it was a place in Virginia in Hampton. It was called Quincy's, and they had the rolls, the butter rolls, and they used to come out with like this honey, like a honey butter spread. They was basically known for the rolls. People wouldn't even go. I don't even tell you. I don't even know what else Quincy's used to fucking make. Everybody used to fuck them rolls up as soon as they came out. What is this girl talking about? See, this is how I know that Twitter isn't a real place, and this chick can't be realistic, because when them rolls come out, people is ready to go to war over them shits.
Yeah.
Fucking bread. Only on Twitter where there's proper bread etiquette. I'm not waiting 5 minutes to eat. What if you in a group and this Cheddar Bay biscuits comes out? It's three of y'all. They sent out four biscuits. And you waiting 5 minutes. And now they all gone. Man, you look stupid as shit. You look like a dumb fuck, my lady. Like,
The only time I'll ever hesitate when I'm eating bread is like, say they send out four, we have three people there, and everybody eats one, and then there's one left. Then I'll take a glance around, and I'll be like, all right, so like, how are we doing this? Before I
we
just
doing?
eat before I eat the fuck out of it, like, are we splitting it? Who doesn't want it? Like, that's the
And
only
me
time I'll hesitate.
personally, I'm always the person that if I ate a bread, then you know what, y'all go ahead. I normally, even if I want it, I'm normally the person that defers that last piece. Like, you know what? Because they about to bring some more anyway.
Yeah,
So
exactly. And it's
y'all go
free.
ahead. And it's free. So look, y'all go ahead. Have you ever been to a Golden Corral ever?
Went like once in my life, but I was like 12. It's been a long time.
Okay, do you remember? Okay, you said you went once. Golden Corral used to have it that they put their rolls out every like 15 minutes. They didn't bring them to the table. They put them in the bread section. So they would put a tray of rolls. It used to be fucking knife fights for the rolls when the rolls would come out. People would take their plate. People would send their kids to take a plate and bring rolls back. And I've seen adult women be ready to fuck kids up. Like, you can't take all them. You can't take all them. You don't tell my son what to do.
I actually do. Now that you say that, I actually do remember the rolls. Like it was in like some
The
little
rolls.
section.
He it was a bell. He would ring the bell when the rolls would come out. And motherfuckers would be ready to sacrifice lives
Everybody would be
over
sitting
those
there
rolls.
watching, waiting for it.
Right. Right. Like this shit is a supermarket sweep or some shit. And
Like
everybody waiting for the rolls to come out. And
Black Friday.
people would send their kids, like when he ring that bell, put like six rolls on his plate. It was a madness. That's what made the Golden Corral. For some reason, I used to frequent Golden Corral back in my heathen days. I stayed up in that motherfucker. Something about buffets, but that's what made Golden Corral switch to they bring your server brings your little basket of rolls to your table. Because I would assume across the country there was a lot of bloodshed over that bell being rung.
They
And
might have even been losing money.
that too. Motherfuckers taking 17 rolls at a time. I would think so. But that's it for Don V Fridays this week. No ads this week. Maybe next week we'll be back on the ads, but y'all can
It's for the 100 special. No ads. You guys are welcome.
no ads. Just like episode one was no ads. Shout outs to 100 episodes. Here's to 100 more. Shout outs to all the plates I seen on July 4th. Shout out. I hope everybody had a blessed July 4th. Pete Morris, my boy. Don't you ever your fucking life post a plate like that ever again. That shit was crazy. Anything left you got to say to the people?
Yeah, thank you everybody for keep supporting us as we get even closer to the season. But I hope you guys had a great 4th, and God bless as always.
Yes, sir. What was I about to say? I fucking blanked out. But it don't matter. Until next time, episode 101, God bless.